This morning, we are beginning a new sermon series with a specific theme. That theme is this: finding redemption in our mess. Now, for those of you who know me personally, who are present, and those who are watching that who know me personally, you know that the word mess has been a regular part of my repertoire. It is a word that I use when I'm frustrated. It is a word I use when I'm unable to think of the correct wording or phrase. And it is my go-to word when my mind is working faster than my mouth. It's also been a word that has caused me much grief. For it seems many of my family and friends seem to associate the word mess most commonly with something negative. So naturally, that is one of the reasons I intentionally picked our Lenten sermon series theme. So for all of you who have given me grief over my usage of this word, as well as those of you at home who may associate the word mess with something negative, I pray that this series speaks to your heart and perhaps even your specific situation. There is a saying that I have posted recently and many times in the past that reads like this: God can take your mess and turn it into a message. But you see, for this to happen, brothers and sisters, we must be willing to admit that each of us, to some extent, are a mess. In fact, that is the title of today's sermon. We are a mess. But to acknowledge that we are a mess is also to acknowledge how our mess affects us and distracts us from all that is good. You see, I believe there is a specific passage of Scripture that speaks directly to this understanding. It is found in the book of Romans, chapter 7. It is one of the passages of Scriptures that I go to when I'm at my lowest point spiritually. It's Romans 7, 14 through 25. Nathan will put the words up behind me on the screen, but for you at home, I want to ask that you join along and read with me, where it says in the beginning of the verse 14, saying, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me. That is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please join me in a short prayer? Holy and loving God, we come today and we are so grateful to be assembled here in this place, feeling your presence, humbly submitting ourselves before you, praising you for your goodness and your righteousness and your holiness, and asking God that you will use your word today. to challenge each of us to examine the obstacles to your grace that live and reign within our hearts, and to have the brave, the boldness and the bravery to deal with those obstacles. Holy Spirit, minister to each of us today, and I ask that you use my humble efforts to be a tool to bring about glory and for the kingdom of God that lives and reigns not only within our hearts, but all around us. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me ask you a question this morning, church. Have you ever driven through a beautiful countryside with spectacular views of lush green pastures in the valleys, only to begin to roll down your window to take it all in even more, and then you get a whiff of the fertilizer they just put on those green pastures? You know, I can remember working as an apprentice at International Paper in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And Pine Bluff, Arkansas, the old historic downtown part, it was absolutely, it still is, absolutely beautiful. But friends, when the wind blows just right, the beauty is drowned out by the awful smells of the paper mills. Now, this may seem a little foreign as sermon illustrations, but I am hoping that they are encounters that most have experienced. The realities of such experiences are symbolism, I believe, to what Paul is speaking about in our scriptures that we just read. As foul smells can taint the beauty within the eye, sin distracts us from the goodness of God. It is the conflict of two natures that every human being wrestles with, because we all suffer from the condition of sin. That is what the author, I believe, is testifying to in those passages of scriptures. Now listen, my wife rides me, and many of my colleagues ride me about making blanket absolute statements, saying that you can't do that as a preacher, but this morning I am going to. I believe it is an absolute truth for every one of you who are in the pews and every one of you who are watching at home. And that is this. None of us are beyond habits and or unresolved issues of our past that tangibly impact us negatively today. None of us are beyond habits and or unresolved issues of the past that tangibly impact us negatively today. And this truth is the mess that we need to deal with. This is the conflict within our two natures that ends up skewing our conscience and sustaining our sin-sick soul. Yet God, my friends, God wants us to live into the freedom that He gave. Wants us to move past such struggles. Christ wants us to live into the freedom that He gave us when He allowed His life to be given on the cross at Calvary. And the Holy Spirit wants to journey with us into those areas so that we may receive both. But this cannot happen when you and I stay in a state of denial about who we are, where we are, and the conditions of sin that we have grown accustomed to. I was reading a new book this past week during some of my downtime because of the snow. And in that book was an interview from Vanity Fair with Bill Murray. And he was asked in the interview about being a bachelor. Seeing that he had been married twice before and was currently not in a relationship, the interviewer was inquiring about his love life. And Murray explains why he did not have a girlfriend by saying this, and I quote, "It would be nice to have a female companion for wedding receptions or great trips." He went on to add, "But there is a lot that I am not doing that I need to do," Murray says. "My issue is connecting with myself." Then Murray shared some insight about what keeps folks from doing just that. The hard work of looking deeper at our own lives. And this is what he said. "What stops any of us is we're kind of really ugly. if we look really hard. We're not who we think we are. We're not as wonderful as we think we are. It's a little bit of a shock. It's hard. You see, what the season of Lent invites you and I to do, brothers and sisters, is hard. For some, it may be acknowledging for the very first time that there is a mess in our lives that needs to be dealt with. For others, it may even cause us to hang our heads in shame for the very things we discover. But regardless of where you land in this mess, there is something we all need to remember, and that is this. Each one of us are made in the image of God. You see, that is one of the two natures that is in conflict highlighted in our scriptural reading. At times, you and I can see the reflection of God within us when we pause to help another person or we serve our community or the church. But then the other nature can be seen when we judge a person because of their poor decisions or we spew hateful sentiments toward them, toward those who pass us on the road in ways that we think were unsafe or aggressive. Yet God, out of His goodness and grace, shares daily reminders that our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer does see past our sinful nature to the beauty of God that lives within us because of Him. Likewise, there are daily reminders that we embrace and have grown accustomed to that detail the nature within us that lives in opposition to the will and goodness of God. This Lenten season is designed to challenge the believer to deal with our sin, our mess, so that we may fully embrace and embody the abundant life that Jesus Christ offers. But to live that abundant life that Jesus offers us demands that you and I no longer deny the true state we are in, the state of brokenness that is negatively impacting us tangibly, and negatively impacting our witness for the kingdom of God tangibly. But it also will demand of us to no longer admire our mess, our sins, our problems. You say, well, what do you mean by that, preacher? Well, this is what I mean. You and I have got to quit justifying our sinful nature by simply saying, well, that's just the way that I am. Or, God made me this way. If you don't like it, get over yourself. You see, by choosing to remain in our mess, we allow the sin that controls us to drown out the goodness of God's image within us. But it doesn't have to be that way, church. It doesn't have to be that way, brothers and sisters at home. We can choose to enter into this season of repentance, not to condemn ourselves. Hear me, not to condemn ourselves, but to free ourselves from the very things that cause our life to stay in the perpetual state of a mess. What this Lenten journey offers is an experience with the Holy Spirit, who is independent of all powers and authorities, calling you and I to repentance from ideological entanglement and behaviors that shadows the beauty of God's image that lives within. But as long as you and I try to manage our sin, well, then we rob ourselves of the joy of salvation. Tell me, friends, do you want to grow in your image of God? Do you at home want to grow in your image of God? Would you join me right now in recognizing the need to bridge the gap between us and God by repenting of the things that replace our loyalty to the way of Christ. Did I say that correctly? Join with me in recognizing the need to bridge the gap between us and God by repenting of those things that replace our loyalty to the ways of Jesus Christ. And listen, we don't have to be afraid or hesitant to start this journey. For God is ready to do a new thing within you and I. And here's the crazy part. God's love will accept us where we are. But it will refuse to allow us to stay in the state that we are in. So if you're ready for God to take your mess and change it into a message, it starts through the journey. It starts by journeying or being grounded, through the journey of being grounded in the repentance of the Holy Spirit. Again, it won't be easy. It'll be challenging. And I can tell you from my own personal experiences, it can be heart-wrenching to be awakened by the Holy Spirit to the sins that I have become completely numb to. Never giving them a thought about how they're impacting me negatively, tangibly, much less how they're affecting negatively my witness for the kingdom of God tangibly. But each year it has always proved to be worth the journey. And I know that it'll be true for you if you'll just be brave enough to start the process. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Will you please join me in a prayer? Holy and loving God, there is a great challenge before us to look internally. To look internally at every aspect of our thoughts, actions, and deeds. Our words, our motives. Many times, Lord, we react to life because of frustration. Because of the sense of urgency that our surroundings seem to demand. And there's times, Lord, that, like the Apostle Paul, we think that we're being zealous for the cause of God, never realizing that we're doing more damage to His church than good. So today, Lord, for all who are watching and all who are present, help each of us to begin this journey by seeking to hear the voice of your Holy Spirit louder than any other voice that bides for our attention and our time. Help us to be open, Lord, to the practices of our life that are in opposition to your will and goodness, to recognize them for what they are, and then to begin the hard work through the power of the Holy Spirit to be rid of those practices, to be freed from those vices, so that the full abundance of your grace may fill us. Lord, you instruct us to be holy because you are holy. So help us to grow this Lenten season in holiness. Help us to see fruit of repentance. And we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.